Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Listen to the word of life with Reverend Steve Mensah of the Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry as he teaches the word of God with simplicity, passion, and understanding.
And now, the Reverend Steve Mensah.
The teaching on the Holy Spirit began last week, and so we are continuing today. I want to talk about the 10 workings of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, as you know, is the third person of the Trinity, and we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So once we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, then you must know His work. Say amen. And Jesus Himself, when He was teaching, did not refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He referred to the Holy Spirit as a person. As a person. So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He was the one who came to manifest Himself, to continue with the works of Christ in us. Say amen. In the Old Testament was the dispensation of God the Father. Then we had the New Testament with the person of the Holy Ghost, and then from the Acts of the Apostles till today, we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Say amen. And so you must know His activities, you must know His work, you must know the way He operates, and there are a lot of things we can talk about with the Holy Spirit. So it's something that we are on, and we believe that we will get somewhere. Say amen. The first working of the Holy Ghost is that He empowers the believer for the work of God. The Holy Ghost empowers the believer for the work of God. Say, I hear you. Now, you can never receive power to do God's work without the Holy Spirit. Say, I hear you. So the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, look at it again. Acts 1 verse 8, he says, and ye, put it there, Acts 1 8, and ye shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. See, I hear you. So which means that, you see, when Jesus was about to leave, He told the people, do not leave Jerusalem. I know you have enthusiasm, I know you have zeal, but wait for the promise of the Spirit. Wait to be endued with power from on high. Wait until you are clothed with power from heaven. Because He knew that without the power of the Holy Spirit, they could not do ministry for ministry to last. Say hallelujah. So He told them, wait until you receive. So if you look at scriptures like Luke 24:49, look at it again, write it down. Luke, He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Are you there? So this was the promise to the disciples. Jesus Himself, Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power, who went about doing good. Oh, am I in the cemetery? I'm in church. Who went about what? Doing good. And healing all manner of things. Which means that your source of power, your source of power is not Osulakpa. Your source of power as a believer comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. Anytime you see somebody ministering on the platform or doing God's work or preaching or teaching, and he hasn't got the power of the Holy Ghost, you can't tell, because his words will be empty. Will be boring. Say amen. Yeah. Because you can teach from sense knowledge, but you can also teach from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The reason people are convicted when they hear you preach or teach is because the Holy Spirit has empowered the message. Otherwise, the person becomes a lecturer. A lecturer's teaching on the Holy Ghost doesn't convict. It gives you head knowledge. But a preacher preaching under the unction of the Holy Ghost brings conviction. That is why Jesus said that when he comes, he will convict you. Oh, am I in church? Yeah. So, beloved, anytime you see or hear anybody, yesterday somebody was giving me a testimony about a guy called Osembo, so in Kumasi, who is organizing all night, called Mopa or something. And he was telling me that the guy can stand from 10 p.m. holding microphone till about 4 a.m. leading prayers and deliverance and everything. And he said, Pastor, this guy is amazing. The reason the guy is amazing is because the Holy Spirit is at work. Say amen. Say amen. When you come with us to crusades and you see us on the platform preaching, demonstrating, and then doing miracles and healing, you will see, because it is reverence that you know, you talk to, hey, daddy, oh, brother. But when we see us there, you can see that something else has taken over. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are, read my lips, powerless. Powerless. That is why I don't want to waste my time listening to somebody who is preaching or teaching or singing or ministering without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a waste of my time. Because I will know it. Because I have the Holy Spirit, I can tell if you are ministering under the flesh. Oh, are you there? Yeah. As I was coming, Andrews, where is he? He was talking to me right now. He was telling me, if nobody was sleeping, the reason everybody was standing, listening, jumping as I was preaching was because the Holy Spirit was behind what I was saying. Are you there? Yeah. So it is the Holy Spirit that empowers the believer to do God's work. Not only to heal, to pray, even when you are ministering in any capacity, in so, you see, when you see somebody singing and the person is singing from his voice, you can tell. If he is singing from the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, your voice doesn't need to be nice. Even you have a frog voice, because the Holy Spirit is behind it, it is ministry. Are you there? So the book of Matthew again, Matthew chapter, what was that? 28, verse 16 to 20, Matthew 28, look at Jesus' teaching. Jesus' teaching and said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And he said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am power. See, when he resurrected from the dead, he took power from the enemy. And he transferred the power to the church through the person of the Holy Spirit. That is why he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive this explosive dynamite. Say, I receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 2 verse 1, we see the initial manifestation of the Holy Spirit as you get the church power. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And the Bible said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat on each of them. Take note, on each of them. Which means that everybody received the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody. And spake, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Now, check the Acts of the Apostles. From that day, Acts chapter 2, from that day, all the way to the end of the Acts, you will see the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You will see the Acts of God. In fact, they are activities were so like Christ that they earned the name Christ-like, from which we got Christians. They were, because they were preaching like Christ. And the Bible says, and the people took knowledge that these people have been with Christ, because they were talking like him, they were teaching like him, they were preaching like him, and they were working miracles like him. When we went to Kweu, this is the report that I received. One old lady, as she was going home, saw our poster, saw the picture on the poster, and they said, "Where your name is Jesus Christ, though." You see, it means that he saw Christ in us. Because we're preaching, we're ministering, we're healing. They said, she was pointed to the picture. And to me, that is a great testimony that she saw Christ in us. She didn't see us, saw Christ in us. May people not see you, may they see Christ in you. You are the epistle, you are the one who is manifest. That is why. So when people see too much of you, it means you are walking in the flesh. People must see Christ, Christos. You must be Christ-like. It means that people don't need to see the physical Christ to believe in him. When they see you, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you think, your analysis, the way your mind is, the way you, they see Christ in you. Are you there? Yeah. So from that day, you see the activities and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are there and you don't have the Holy Ghost, please receive him today and now. Say, I receive it. When St. Paul went to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from 1 to 4, this is Paul in the church of Corinth. And in chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Look at the next, I love the next verse. He said, and I was with you in weakness, and I was with you in fear and in much trembling, which means that my natural self was there in fear, in weakness, and in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of what? Of the power and of what? And of the Spirit. Of the Spirit and of the power. Which means that even though I was there in fear and in weakness and in much trembling, my speech were not enticing words of man's wisdom. Which means that you can preach with enticing words. But my speech was, it was in demonstration of the Spirit. What Spirit? Of the Holy Spirit. And of power. So that, look at the next verse. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. Are you learning something here? And when I read this scripture, I'm encouraged because I experience it every time. Sometimes I'm invited to a place, and then my protocol people will tell you, whilst I'm on my way to the place where we are going to minister, I'm either asleep in a car or something. Or whatever. I don't feel. I tell my guys, try and call the guy and cancel the program. And I'm going, and I'm dozing, and I'm tired, and I'm weak, and I'm thinking, I'm drinking something, I'm brushing my hair, whatever. And whilst we are getting to the program, I see banners, posters, billboards all over the place. When we step into the auditorium, the whole place goes uproar. The man of God is here. And while they are talking about the man of God is here, me myself, the way I'm feeling, I feel like going to bed. And the area that kills me cry is when the host takes the microphone. I'm telling you, the anointed man is here. The great man of God, a father has arrived. Oh, his 2 feet that are step here alone is enough for this church. Everybody shout hallelujah. I'm telling you, you are about to see something you haven't seen before. You are about to hear something you haven't heard. I said, this man of God, for 6 years we have been looking for him to come to this church. Today that his 2 feet have stepped here, the heavens are open for this church. And I'm sitting now looking at him. And I'm saying, you don't know who you are talking about. Because at that time, I'm in fear. When I look at the crowd, the expectations of the people, everybody's expecting, and me myself, I'm feeling dull and hungry. But when I grab the microphone, something takes over. That is where you understand the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts my feelings aside and takes over the meeting. One day we had, I did 2 services here. Then we did Jovenus here. Oh, we jump here, dance here, whatever. We did all our hey. Meanwhile, we had an anointing service at what is the name of it? Living Bread. Their evening impartation service. After we have look at the Jovenus jumping. We jump here, and then I entered the Land Cruiser, and I was changing in the Land Cruiser to where my boo and everything, comb my hair, put freshness under my armpit, everything. When we go to the place, you should ask my protocol. The whole place went up, clapping their hands, say, hey! And then, I said, remember. There were over, how many people? About 3,000 human beings in the auditorium. We have finished 2 services. We have finished a Juvenus. We were there. I wiped my face. I did everything in the car when I got there. The man of God to the front. He said, you don't know the kind of man who has entered this place today. You don't know the kind of man who has entered here today. We are privileged to have him here. As strong as a privilege. You don't know. Look, I stood there on my feet. I preached the people standing. Afterwards, I laid hands on all the over 3,000 people. They fell all over. The whole place were littered with human beings. And I was laughing at myself because I realized that I was out of my own body. My speech and my preaching were not enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. As soon as I finished that meeting, immediately they invited me to another one. When I finished, they invited me to another one. When I finished, they invited me to another one. I thought that is enough. Say amen. So I see the Holy Ghost using you also. In your office, in your work, everywhere, when you are confused and everything, he will take over so that it will not be you, but it will be the work of the Holy Spirit. Say, I receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The second work of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit empowers the believer to pray. The Holy Spirit empowers the believer to pray. Hallelujah. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. The Bible teaches that likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the New Translation says, Himself maketh intercession for us. The Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit Himself takes over our recreated spirit, our born-again spirit, and makes intercession for us with groanings. Say groanings. It means that you are speaking things your mind is not aware of. Just like how Hannah went to the temple and the Bible said her lips were moving, but words were not heard. That's called groanings. When we started going to GES, Ghana Evangelical Society, and we used to have the all night, that was when we learned what we call groaning in the spirit, because Brother Enoch will carry you for about 6 hours of prayers non-stop, and we'll pray until we are no more articulating words, but we are now, you are praying not from your throat or from your mouth, but you are praying from your spirit, and you are making very strange utterances which you yourself you cannot comprehend. Say amen. Continue on the verse. Continue the verse. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh, because he, the Holy Spirit, who is a person, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Maketh intercession for the saints. Maketh. He, the person, takes over your prayer topics and arrange them properly before God, because you yourself, you are too confused to articulate your own words. But the Spirit Himself, who searches your heart, knowing what is in the man of your spirit, knows what you want to say. So He Himself begins to pray for you according to the will of God. Are you there? That is why Paul said, I will pray with my understanding, I will also pray in the spirit. Because sometimes your understanding is limited with your prayer topics, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who is in you, knows things that are happening around you. So He takes over your prayers and arranges them before the Father according to His will. Say, I need that help. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Another word for infirmities is helpeth our weaknesses. Helpeth our troubled mind. Helpeth our sometimes when you are having malaria, you are lying down, very sick, headache, cough, whatever, and you want to pray, you can see that you are very weak in your prayer. You can't pray. That is why people come to pray for you. You are there, you want to do prayers, you are lying down, you are sick. Then at the point, the Holy Spirit takes over what you want to say. Say amen. So, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot pray for a very long time, and you cannot pray according to the will of the Father. That doesn't mean that your prayers are not heavy if you don't speak in tongues, but you are able to pray longer with the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The third workings of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit becomes our source of comfort. Our source of comfort. Our source of comfort. How many of you know that we are emotional beings? Say amen. When you hear somebody say, I'm not an emotional person, the person is lying. God himself intentionally made us a bit emotional in certain areas. If you are not emotional, it means that what will make you very emotional hasn't come yet. There are some areas in your life, when that place is touched, you become very emotional. When Jesus was with his disciples, he was with them, eating with them, sleep, eat, travel. They were always in his company. Then he started telling them about his departure. And they became very discouraged. They became very down. Normally when somebody is with you, and at a point the person has to leave, there is some feeling you have. You start missing the person. Say amen. Yeah. Just a couple of days ago, we had a lot of people in our home. A lot of people. Most of the people who came for the crusades, some of them were in our house. Our house was full. All the dining area was full. When they are eating, they laid all the table. And then the night they left, the whole house became empty. We started missing them. Say amen. So when somebody leaves, you feel it. So the disciples too were feeling the absence of Jesus as he was talking. So he was speaking to them. He said, because I am saying these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Because I'm preaching about what I'm going to do, I'll go to the Father. Sorrow has filled your heart. But do not worry. When I go, I will send the comforter. I will send the helper. The paraclete. The original word, paracletos. Which means someone sent alongside to strengthen and encourage you. Say amen. Even though you may not see me physically, you will see me in the spirit. I will manifest myself in a spiritual way to you. John 16:5. Is it there? Okay, John 16:5. But now I go my way to him that has sent me, and none of you access me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Amen. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is important, it is expedient, it is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him, personal pronoun. Him. It's not an it. It's not a wind. It's not an animal. But I will send him, a person, to you. Say amen. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So later on, Jesus was teaching, he said, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit? The Comforter. That's the next time he was preaching on it. He said, the Comforter, who is what? The Holy Spirit. When he comes. Say hallelujah. So the disciples were very sorrowful. But when the Comforter came, it comforted them. It also strengthened them. He became their comforter or source of strength. That is why there are times, let me tell you something, when you are very sorrowful, when you are lonely, you've gone through some painful divorce, or you're going to, people say that, may the Holy Spirit comfort you. May the Holy Spirit strengthen you. He's not referring to Nyankupo Ankasa, but he's referring to the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit. See, amen? Yeah. And sometimes you don't know what people can go through. People can go through a lot of things. People can be very, very, very down. People can be very, very sorrowful. Reverend Eastwood was discussing with me. He said, Reverend Steve, when I lost my children, people comforted me from around the world. But I received more comfort from the Holy Spirit. He said, people comforted me from around the world. But I received more comfort from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a comforter. It's a strengthener. Say amen. Anytime I preach, when I finish, what's your name again? Happy. Happy lost the husband how many years ago? A year or 2 years? A year ago, she lost the husband. Anytime I preach, when I finish preaching, she will come to me. Daddy, I was so down before I came to church. But when I finish listening to you, I am comforted. You know, it was the Holy Spirit using the words I preached to comfort her. Because they are a young couple, they have a beautiful, I think, two. How many children do you have? 3 children, and suddenly your husband just dies, just like that. You are alone with the 3 children. You will feel it. You will feel it. Say amen. Anytime you see that somebody has lost a loved one, you must have empathy for that person. It's not easy. You are lying on the same bed with the person for years. You see, I can imagine my wife not lying beside me. I will feel it. Because when I throw my hands, she's not there. And we are used to sleeping together under one cloth. Either one's head is here, one leg is here. I mean, it's like some cobwebby. That's the way we sleep. Yeah, it's like intertwined. That's the way we sleep. We've been sleeping like that for 20-something years. Sleep together. One must feel... I must feel one's body. So when I travel, I realize that I'm lonely. So I can imagine if she dies, I'll be alone. But as lonely as you may feel, the comforter will comfort you. And the comforter has a way of comforting you that will comfort you more than human comfort. Yeah. The human being can appeal to your emotions and your intellect, your mind, but that the Holy Spirit will comfort you in the spirit. When you go through a divorce, you lose something. You see, Americans, that when the 9/11 hit and so many thousands of people died and everything, they tied scriptures on pieces of flowers and they were distributing it all over the place just to comfort those who have lost their loved ones. As antichrist as they are, they found solace in the Holy Spirit. It was through this comforting power of the Holy Ghost that inspired people to write some of the songs we sing today. It was the comfort they received from the Holy Ghost that inspired some of the writings of the song we sing today. Yeah, to those who went through tragedies, whatever, it was the comfort that the Holy Ghost gave to them. The words of comfort they received from the Holy Ghost inspired the writings of the songs that they wrote. That shows the power of the Paraclete, of the Holy Spirit. Everybody else in this world can forsake you, but the Comforter will never forsake you. He said, He will be with you forever. He will be with you forever. Because He knew that we will be forsaken. He knew that we will be rejected. He knew that people will go through periods of loneliness and periods of tragedy. So He sent Him ahead to be our source of comfort. Receive the comforting power of the Holy Ghost. Say, I hear you. Number what? 3, 4. The fourth workings of the Holy Ghost is that the Holy Ghost will guide the Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is the most important part of His workings. If the Holy Ghost is not guiding you, and you always guide yourself, you will lead yourself astray. You will lead yourself into bad company. You will guide yourself into wrong investments. You will guide yourself into tragedy. You will guide yourself into places that you will regret for the rest of your life. So He will guide your thoughts. He will guide your heart. He will guide your feet. He will guide your intellect. Receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That is what the Bible calls it. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. So that the Holy Ghost is thinking through our mind. Not only our mind, He's thinking through our renewed mind. Oh, am I in church? I've gone somewhere.
Yeah.
Because there are some minds in the church who are not renewed. That is why the Bible says that when you have been born again, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, because the Holy Ghost will be now be thinking through your mind. He will use your mental faculties to decide what you should do. That is why when you are confronted with a situation and you feel confused, you say, I want to pray about it. And when you pray about it, your mind is telling you that. When you say your mind, the Holy Ghost is guiding your mind because you have the mind of Christ. Don't say, I don't know whether it is my mind or the Holy Spirit. No. It is the Holy Spirit, because He has now taking control over your mental faculties. The Bible says that we have the mind of God. And when you have prayed about something, how can Satan come and lead you after prayers? So when you finish praying about something, you say, and I feel like something told me, all those things you are saying are the workings of the Holy Spirit. When you pray about the boy, and you pray about him and everything, and afterwards, you say, Holy Spirit, if he's not the one, take him away from my mind. Let me forget about him. Let him just whatever. And after praying all the prayers, he's still in your mind. The guy is still in your heart. You have attempted 17 times to delete his number from your phone. When you press delete doesn't work. Lord, if he's the right person, for the next 3 days, I will not call him. For the next 3 days, I will not mind him. For the next 3 days, I will not even think about him. But if he's the one, then let him call me after 3 days. After 3 days, bah, he will call you. You have put a fleece before the Lord. So stop looking at your star. Let your star be your guide. Stop reading your stars. Sagittarius, Capricorn, Octopus. There's no octopus there. What is there? Capricorn, Leo. I'm Leo. I used to watch my Leo. Today, every day is good things. Leo. But when you go to Chinese restaurant, you finish eating, then they bring you something. When you break it, then there is a saying there. That's not your guide. It's not your guide. Stop reading your... Don't gaze the stars. Don't look into the zodiac world. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Don't let somebody read your palm. People are reading your palm and say, let me read your palm. And the two why, no, they just say, Ube bre pa. I hear why just say, bre. And I am no, and you open this car, but open bread. Aha, open this car, but open bread. Indeed, that's what the Lord, the Spirit is saying. And I remember, we left. All those things are not your guide. A palmist, a sorcerer, a diviner, somebody who's throwing dice. And there are people in the church who go to throw dice. There are people in the church who go to Medina here to go and consult Malans. Nekofifem. We pad your reverend. We pad your. Say fifem. And now, this thing, a friend is saying, don't be saying those things. Don't be saying the Bible betunche. What the Bible tunche? Why you have departed from the faith. All your source of inspiration, your answers to every question, your confusion and your guide, all are in the scriptures, and the Holy Ghost will guide you into every truth. Your guide. And beloved, you can talk to the Holy Spirit as you talk to a person. That is why it's not an it. It's not a wind or a dove. It's a Holy Spirit, please help me to understand these whole mysteries. And help guide me as to what to do, because I feel very confused. And that's what he likes. When you are confused, that is why he's there. He's there as your helpmate. He's there as your comforter. He's there as your strengthener to guide you. Everybody who is guided by the Holy Ghost doesn't make mistakes. You would hardly make mistakes if you are guided. Most of the time, our flesh guides us. Our mind, God, that is why a Christian who is, you see, when you pray, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, because we are confused. But he who searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, for he maketh intercession for us. So after he made intercession, now he guides your mind. May your mind be guided. May he think through your mind. May he guide your steps. And sometimes, listen to this very carefully. This is very, very important. When the Holy Spirit is guiding you, he may not guide you according to your taste, according to your understanding. He can be off. You want to marry in your mind. You want to marry. I want thick and tall. I don't like people who are short, because there are too many short people in my family. Yeah. But he is guiding you to a short person. That is where you pray this prayer. Father, if I cannot get a thick and tall person, then let your will be done. By saying that, you have opened the option for the Holy Spirit to work to guide you. But when you fix your mind on thick and tall and fair women, fair, somebody came to us some time ago and said that, Reverend, You see, he put in his mind that he wants to marry a fair woman. So even though the Holy Ghost brought a dark or a semi-dark woman his way, he refused to look at it, because his mind is fixed. He calls something the permissive will of God. If God will permit you in your own will, we have what we want to call the perfect will of God. And the Holy Ghost will guide you into God's perfect will. You may not like the thing now, but with time, you will thank God that He gave you such a partner. Yeah. You thank God. You thank God. So today, receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. Your career, your future, anything you want to do, receive guidance from the person of the Holy Ghost. He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into greener pastures. He will guide you into a place of rest and comfort. Say amen. Say, I receive guidance from the Holy Spirit. Should I add one more? All right. Close with one. Then I'll add what, five, isn't it? Okay. The fifth working of the Holy Spirit is that He will transfer the characteristics of Christ to you. He will transfer the characteristics of Christ to you. As you will see, he said, whatever the Father has given to me, the Holy Ghost will take of mine, He will take from me and transfer them to you. He will give you what I have. It was during the impartation of the Holy Ghost, He transferred the Spirit to the disciples. That is why they started looking like Christ, talking like Christ, and behaving like Christ. Say amen. Yeah. He transferred His nature, His activities, His outlook, His style of preaching, to show that He has given them what was in Christ. When you go somewhere, you start preaching, or you start singing, and they say, you are singing like Pastor Stanley, then it means that you are in the right place. Because something from the leadership of the house must rub off on you. That means I've got a good spirit. If you go somewhere, hey, the way you preach, you know Reverend Steve. Somebody was preaching somewhere. Then he came and said, you know Reverend Steve. So Reverend Steve is my father. Aha! Because your jokes and manners are like Reverend Steve. So he's my father. Say amen. So the disciples were behaving like Christ. Think about that. They said, they took knowledge that they have been with Him. It means that the Holy Ghost has taken of Him and transferred it to the disciples. So they were Christ-like, look like Christ, behave like Christ, talk like Christ, because of the impartation of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Today, I want to encourage you to embrace Him, because without Him, you will not survive. Without Him, you will not last in the kingdom. Without Him, you cannot face the difficult things or the difficult situation in life, because He is your greatest comforter. He is your greatest source of power. He is your greatest guide. He is the one who will carry you into difficult areas and still break through for you. He is your best friend. He is your best source of comfort. He is the one who will put a song in your mouth to sing. God bless you. Love you all.
We invite you to worship with us this and every Sunday at the Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, Rehoboth Temple, North Legon. Our first service begins at 7 to 9:30 a.m. and second service 9:30 to 11 a.m. Our midweek teaching service every Wednesday 6 to 8 p.m. Prophetic Encounter, Thursdays 9 to 12 noon. Hours of Prayer, every Friday, 6 to 8 p.m.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.